Why didn't I start earlier? I have said that so many times, thinking, if I had just started earlier, I'm on a roll now. I'm on a roll. Why didn't I start earlier? Well, this is a common thought, feeling. The truth is, at times we put off undesirable tasks until tomorrow. We'll get around to it tomorrow. Procrastination becomes our thief, continually robbing us of hearing the wonderfully rewarding words, "Job well done."
Everyone procrastinates, just at different times, in different ways, and for different reasons. But the negative consequences often feel like failure. And then the questions come flooding in. How did this happen? Why didn't I start earlier? June Hunt leads us to enlightening discoveries and strategies today as we learn how to prevent the decay of delay here on Hope for the Heart.
Does this ring familiar? I can't believe I'm late again. What happened? I really believed I could get this done on time. Why didn't I start earlier? I have said that so many times, thinking, if I had just started earlier, I'm on a roll now. I'm on a roll. Why didn't I start earlier? Well, this is a common thought, feeling. The truth is, at times we put off undesirable tasks until tomorrow. We'll get around to it tomorrow. Procrastination becomes our thief, continually robbing us of hearing the wonderfully rewarding words, "Job well done." We all would like to hear that. We don't have to hear the exact words. We just want that feeling of satisfaction. Yes, I did my best. We like that sense of fulfillment. We like to feel that we're meeting needs, that we're accomplishing something that has value. But I hurt for procrastinators, myself being one of those on occasion. I know a lot of people are very critical of procrastinators. I don't have that in my heart because I've seen the pain that so many have who don't want to be procrastinators. They don't want to be known as, well, there she is. And yet, a lot of people have that reputation. It's the reputation of never on time, can't be counted on. Well, we want to be counted upon to do whatever it is that we say we'll do. So procrastination steals our confidence, steals our integrity. Because if we say we're going to do something, we really mean to do it. The prayer of our hearts, therefore, should be, "Lord, show me how to stop this destructive decay of delay. Teach me how to manage my time so that I can be counted on, so that I can be a blessing to others, not a bother, not a disappointment to others." Notice how Jesus motivates us to be wise managers. In Luke, he says, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager?" See, we need to be managers of the life he gave us. "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns." In other words, God cares that we are accomplishing the reason why we're here on earth. And so if he cares, we should care. What I'd like to do is to present to you 5 types of unintentional procrastinators. Procrastinators who don't want to procrastinate typically don't understand themselves at all, especially when they repeatedly miss both self-imposed deadlines or other-imposed deadlines. The truth is they feel like failures. When they don't accomplish what they know they should have, they tend to hit themselves emotionally over the head because of their lack of responsibility. They don't like what they've done. People typically have words with them. So often it's like, but why didn't you do this? Or sometimes it's just that inner critic of, do you realize you could have done this? In failing to meet these genuine time commitments, they still procrastinate, but not by design, by default. This negative pattern of behavior ultimately is an outgrowth of five, I'm calling them personality types. These are people who don't want to procrastinate. They don't like the end result of where they land, meaning lots of times in hot water. Yet, if they continue to have the negative repercussion, why don't they change? So we're going to be talking about perfectionist Patty. We're going to talk about poor self-worth Paul. We're going to talk about fear-based Freddie. We're going to talk about lack of goals Larry. And we're going to talk about overwhelmed Olivia. So as we talk about perfectionist Patty, she overly emphasizes what she does, not who she is. Patty feels paralyzed when she can't measure up to the unrealistic standards she has set for herself. She feels she must perform perfectly, yet finds herself stymied when she discovers that perfection is unattainable. Are you familiar with PBA? What is PBA? What does that stand for? Performance-based acceptance. I'm going to be accepted based on how I perform. And for Patty, it's all or nothing. It's like, there must be the best. She's thinking, I need to do everything perfectly. Aren't I to do the very best I can? Well, the problem is, what if there are things you don't know how to do and other people do them better? Then you can get into the paralysis of procrastination. See, Patty puts these impossible expectations on herself, only to find herself worth suffering. What are Patty's feelings? Well, she's a hard worker. She feels she must be a hard worker, but she's hardest on herself. Perfectionists are typically hardest on themselves. If it's not perfect, I'll feel horrible. Patty's response is, I can't start until I have everything just right. I have to do it just right. The assumption is, if I do it perfectly, I'll be accepted. I won't be rejected. I just need to do it. By the way, some people who are perfectionists, a lot of people think they're prideful. I don't find that to be the case. I think they're very driven to want so badly to come through, to do it with whatever needs to be done. So the conclusion is, perfectionist Patty procrastinates because she's never satisfied with her performance. She doesn't realize that God doesn't demand perfection. He only desires that she aim for excellence, to do her best. Patty needs to be at peace in her times of stress and learn how to rely on his strength. It's very interesting how the Lord said to the Apostle Paul, who was highly accomplished, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul began to realize he didn't have to do everything perfectly. Well, are we willing to say, yes, I have weakness, therefore I need to rely on the strength of Christ. I need to rely on him, not my perfect performance. You will not do everything perfectly. So, I said there are five types of personalities. Number two, poor self-worth Paul. He's over-controlled by what others think, and he views himself as inadequate. He struggles just to get started because he assumes that he's not really acceptable. He assumes that nothing he does will be acceptable. And Paul's negative self-talk, what he says to himself about himself, makes any goal unattainable. So it's like he thinks, why try? When he makes mistakes, rather than learning lessons and persevering through to completion, his low self-worth weighs him down, and he simply gives up trying. He thinks, I'm such a failure. I can't do anything right. Let me tell you, when I hear those words from someone, I can't do anything right. Have you heard people say that? No matter what I do, it's never right. Well, you know that's not true, but that's how they genuinely feel. My tendency is to say, who was so hard on you when you were young? Or who is being so hard on you now? You see, it's false. Yet that's what is sincerely thought. He feels he does not have value, feels inadequate. Basically, his message is, I feel so insignificant, so incapable, so incompetent, so worthless. He compares himself to others and tends to remain passive. You know, I'm not good enough to succeed, so there's no sense in trying. He procrastinates, listen to this, because he assumes he's inferior and nothing he would do would work anyway. What's the conclusion here? Poor self-worth Paul procrastinates because he lacks God's perspective of his value. Paul can't see what he's capable of achieving. He doesn't realize that God not only created him, but also pre-planned the work God himself designed for Paul to do. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's handiwork. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God, notice this, prepared in advance for us to do. Prepared in advance. So sometimes if you're talking to someone who's really struggling with low self-worth, they need to see what God says. Don't let another person's words control you, or else you can get so controlled by what other people think. Much too controlled.
Do you recognize yourself in any of these patterns? Well, stay with us. June will be right back with more about preventing the decay of delay here on Hope for the Heart. Now, if you missed any of this program, just go to our broadcast app or listen online at hopefortheheart.org. Right now, let's go back to this broadcast as June talks about three more types of procrastinators.
Number three, fear-based Freddy. Fear-based Freddy. Overly afraid of people. Overly afraid of the future. Overly afraid of the unknown. Freddy sees life as risky and sidesteps responsibility. He wants to feel safe. And when faced with an assignment, he feels anxious. What if I make a mistake? What if it's a costly mistake? Well, his fear paralyzes him from following through with the task because he expects a negative reaction from others. He not only focuses on performance, which he sees as flawed from the past, but also on the opinions of others. He's thinking, I won't succeed. I know I won't succeed. And that would be horrible. He's a classic worrier. Freddie's feeling is, I dread getting started. It may go wrong. It may cause conflict. So he's afraid of confrontation, afraid of conflict in such a way that that controls him. The possibility of being in conflict, he runs from it. You know, I'm afraid to start because I'm sure I'll fail. And he puts off anything that could evoke a negative response. So his assumption is, if I put it off, I won't have to deal with it. Now, isn't that logical? If I put it off, I won't have to deal with it. So he procrastinates because of fear of conflict. Fear-based Freddy procrastinates because he believes any effort on his part has the potential of initiating rejection. You realize he doesn't have to be controlled by fear, because even in stressful situations, he can claim these words from the book of Psalms, Psalm 56:11. In God I trust, I am not afraid. What can man do to me? And you say, well, they can reject me. And that's what we are typically so afraid of, is what's going to happen? How are people going to treat us? Well, sometimes the problem is we're letting the past control us, and we need to be able to not be a prisoner of our past. Lack of goals, Larry, is our fourth type. Overly dependent on others for decision-making, Larry has no real sense of purpose for his life. He hopes that one day his life's going to amount to something, but because he has no clear direction, he doesn't have goals. There are things he wants, but he has difficulty setting the goals because he doesn't know his purpose in life. And so he can't seem to stay focused. His lack of purpose makes beginning any task a burden. His thinking is, I don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing. Well, I don't know why I'm doing it. Think of being on a ship and not knowing where you're going. Anybody ever been on a ship? Didn't you kind of know where you were headed? Well, he doesn't know where he's headed. He's like a ship without a rudder. And he can't steer because he has no map. So he needs a map. Larry feels, no matter what I do, I don't feel fulfilled. He doesn't feel fulfillment. He feels lost because he doesn't know where he's going. So he says, why start this task when it really doesn't make any difference anyway? He knows he needs to chart the course, but he finds himself dead in the water. And he doesn't know how to get out of his predicament. His assumption is, I need to wait until I can figure out what I really want to do. There are a lot of people in college, and they flunk out. They say, I don't know what I'm doing. They don't sense purpose in their life. They don't understand how to evaluate, how to understand God's purpose for their lives. And so they become like ships without a rudder. So just feeding somebody who is purposeless isn't the solution. It's helping them get the right map to understand purpose in life. Basically, though, Larry's assumption is, I just need to wait until I can figure out what I really want to do. Now, he's procrastinating because he has no direction, but if you're never given direction, it's very hard if you don't understand direction and how to get it. So the conclusion is, lack of goals, Larry delays accomplishing tasks that he's unable to see. He can't see the map. He doesn't have the plan. So he's unable to see how any of his efforts contribute to anything meaningful. He doesn't realize that God has actually planned a fulfilling course for him. The little book of Titus. Titus 3, verse 14 says, our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order to provide for urgent needs and not live unproductive lives. Larry is unproductive. He's unproductive. Well, God knows what will enable us to be productive because he's already created us and he has the plan for us. So we've got to understand his purpose for us and then assign goals in order to meet those purposes, and then that means that your priorities are in line with meeting the goals to meet the purposes. There's a way to do this. Overwhelmed Olivia. Oh dear. I don't want to talk about her very much because at times I feel overwhelmed. And those who know me know I feel overwhelmed. Well, could she be an overly committed person, overly committed to pleasing people? It's kind of hard when you have multiple people who are wanting this and wanting that, and you can feel overwhelmed with the workload. Overwhelmed Olivia, her work area could look like a disaster zone. Her phone is like lost. You can't find the phone because there's a stack of to-do lists. She's already 10 minutes late for another meeting. She works feverishly to get her work done, but finds no way to get on top of it all. They're just isn't enough time in the day. So her thinking is, I'm doing the best I can, but there's no way I can finish on time. In other words, she's overcome with overload. Her feelings are, my life is out of control. Feeling ill-equipped for handling tasks. So her response is, since I can't get it all done on time, I'll work on a project I really enjoy and at least accomplish something. Something totally minor, totally unnecessary. Too many people are laughing here. There are too many guilty parties here, I can tell. So she chooses the easiest task over the most important task. The easiest over the most important. Assumption, I just need to work harder and faster. If somebody can help me figure out how to work harder and faster, I'll do it somehow. She procrastinates because of being on overload. Overwhelmed Olivia procrastinates because she feels responsible for far more than she can handle, yet has no ability to manage her time in a meaningful way. Overwhelmed Olivia doesn't realize that she has all the time she truly needs because God Himself created her. He gave her 24 hours. He will never require more of her than she can do. Olivia needs to take this verse to heart. The wise in heart know the proper time and procedure, for there is a proper time and procedure for every matter. But you know what's going to have to happen to overwhelmed Olivia? She's going to have to learn that two-letter word. It's what?
No.
No. And it means streamlining. It means saying no to the unimportant so that you can do the important. Now, that may mean somebody will be upset. Oh, but they expect me to come. I've always been a part of this group. Well, okay. That was then, this is now. If you're going to be in control of your life in the way that God intends for you to accomplish His purpose for your life.
You're listening to June Hunt on Hope for the Heart. I'm Joe Wolf, and I don't know about you, but I learned some things about procrastination today that I didn't know before or really had never thought about. You can find more practical help, tools, and ideas to prevent procrastination with our updated Keys for Living on this topic. It's called Preventing the Decay of Delay. Just go to hopefortheheart.org to order your copy. And if you missed any of today's program, get your phone out, go to your app store, and download the Hope for the Heart broadcast app. Or go to hopefortheheart.org to listen to this program again. And while you're there, you can also download a free guide about preventing procrastination. Now, June's back with a word of hope.
Just about everybody I know procrastinates, just at different times, in different ways, for different reasons. Then the questions come, why didn't I start earlier? How did this happen again? Then our confidence, integrity, they're gone. Do you need a new strategy to do battle with that persistent enemy called procrastination? If so, I pray that God's truth will guide you to the freedom you've been looking for. I want you to have hope that you can be an overcomer. Romans 15 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit."
And that's our prayer for you. May God's truth guide you, and may you overflow with the hope that only comes from Him. Hope for the Heart is here to help you discover what the Bible says about the hurts, the habits, and the struggles in life. We do this by taking a biblical and practical look at life's challenges. And with all the ways to communicate, there's no reason for anyone to suffer alone. Listen to this message.
Caregivers come from different backgrounds, education, and experience, but they all have one thing in common, a desire to help those who are hurting. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new caregiver training offered by Hope for the Heart. This 10-week video-based program can help you deploy a small, effective group of caregivers in your church, biblical caregivers who can help meet the needs of hurting people, connecting lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. This comprehensive training shows the biblical model for caregiving and includes sessions on effective listening, crisis intervention, family dynamics, having a ministry of presence, and more. Proverbs 11:14 reminds us that where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org.
Well, Lifeline to Hope is a great course. And can you imagine what your church and community might look like with Lifeline to Hope caregivers? That website again is lifelinetohope.org. For June Hunt, I'm Joe Wolf. Remember that there is hope no matter the circumstance. And we'll talk more about this hope tomorrow, right here on Hope for the Heart.